Glad you came. Hasn't this been wonderful? Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The writer of Hebrews has been comparing the worship in the wilderness to the gospel, the priesthood of Aaron to Jesus, you know, all of that that's in the book of Hebrews. And here he gives us one more illustration. In verse 10, he says, "We have an altar from which those who serve in the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp, bearing abuse for him. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer him up a sacrifice of praise, that the fruit of our, that is, the fruit of our lips, that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." In this passage we have, it's kind of a strange passage because it makes sense to us to look at the altar in the tent and at the tabernacle, at the laver full of water, the place where the incense is burned. It makes sense that those would be something you would think about Jesus when you saw it. But this fire that's out in the wilderness, that's away from the camp, this ugly fire, where the horns and the hooves and the feet and the entrails and the hide and the tail is all being burned out there, is a smelly fire. It's a smoky fire, and it's not so good, not so pretty. When they're dividing up the duties among the priests, no priest served and did everything all the time. And sometimes you'd get a really good assignment, a big holy day. Maybe actually the one like Zechariah that got to go in and burn the incense and make the daily prayers. Oh, what a great thing. Your wife would make sure your robe was exactly right. Your children would be proud of you. They would look up to you as you walked out of the house. They would want to hear all about it. But if you drew this straw, you're going to go out there in the wilderness and you're going to sit on the ground by a fire. And you're going to be moving around trying to keep that stinking smoke out of your face. Your wife would say, maybe next year. You might even think, what did I do wrong? Why do I have this unhappy assignment? Here he's using this as an example for us. When we think about the gospel, that's what he's doing all through this book. We see many things about the gospel, the story of the God coming to earth and living and dying and being raised and ascending into heaven and coming back. All of those are there's so many exciting, so many beautiful scenes. We think about the triumphant entry when the whole town is out there waving palm branches and throwing their garments in front of the donkey as Jesus comes into town. We see demons begging him to leave him alone. We see storms stopping at his voice. We see death surrendering its prey. We see the transfiguration where the real true likeness of Jesus is revealed to the apostles, and our hearts quicken and we get excited about it. We see the ascension as he goes up and up, and they can't quit looking even after they can't see him anymore. And by faith, we see him return with his angels and every tongue confessing him. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We sang about some of those things. It's beautiful. But there's another fire. We see the cross. It's ugly. You hide your children's eyes. You plan to enter Jerusalem from another way because you don't want to see stuff like that. Smells bad there. All that happens there is people die. And they die in a terrible way. You don't want anything from there. We see the mocking. We see sweaty soldiers beating him. We see the spit and we see the slaps. We see the humiliation. It's not beautiful. Because the gospel story includes that too. It's a key part of the gospel story. When Paul tells the story into the church at Corinth, he says things of first importance, and the death was part of that. When we think about worship, most of it is beautiful. Tonight, wasn't it something? Wasn't it something? When we're here with people that love God, and we're here because we want to be here, and we're here because nobody can keep us from being here, and we're here where we worship, it's beautiful. I remember one time after some surgery, I couldn't come to worship for a couple of weeks. I didn't know if I was going to live through it. It was worse than the surgery, because you got to be here. This is it. But sometimes our life, we're sick, or we're tired, or we're oppressed. Sometimes Paul would be preaching and people would be responding. One time they started wanting to offer sacrifices to him. And then other times he's been beaten up and chained to a wall, and we see him worship. The writer here talks about the fruit of our lips. Sometimes the fruit of our lips is in harmony, like it was tonight, and on key. And we have to join in with it. It's beautiful. Sometimes there's swelling when we sing, you know, and it just has power about it. But sometimes those lips will be bruised or bleeding, or they'll be old and sick, and her voice is thready. And although it might not be pretty to the ears, we're saying the same thing. God, we still believe. God, we love you. We need you. Come close to me. He said he's not far. If we seek him, we'll find him. David said, sometimes you're at a table, a banquet table, prepared in the presence of your enemies, where they have to just stay back in the dark and kick the ground because you have arrived. God has taken care of you and rewarded you, and so you worship in that way. But sometimes, he said, you go through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes David was on a throne, sometimes he was in a cave. And he writes worship, the fruit of his lips, in both occasions. Where do we seek God? Of course, we seek him here because he tells us when two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there. And so we want to be where he is. The reason you're not at a party tonight is because you want to be where God is. And that's worship, isn't it? And you're with your brothers, and you have joy. And what would you have taken for that assembly this morning? When we got to see new people come to Christ, I mean brand new people, not people that had not been a part of anything about us, and all of the singing and the praying and the joy and the happiness. Wasn't it something? But sometimes we seek him in dungeons. And sometimes personally we're on an anvil receiving blows. Sometimes we're in a cauldron being melted down or being ground down, like Jesus told the disciple, you're going to be sifted to find out what's really there. But in all of those places, he says, this is where you're going to find him. We should be careful if we limit where we're looking for God. And we should understand that we're probably not going to find God in the places that you would think you would. You're going to find him where he is and where he promises to be. The first time I read this passage, that I paid attention to it, I thought, what is that all about? And now I've got marks all over it because I can't stay away from it. We seek him. We worship him. And sometimes we draw the straw that says, or get the lot that says, you're in front of the whole country, in front of the tabernacle. You have this position of honor today in worship, leading this great assembly. There will be music playing, and there will be people singing and people bowing. And what's coming up from that altar is the fat of the animal, and it smells like a barbecue, you know, and it's and the incense is there and everything. Or you're out in the wilderness, maybe you and one other guy out there, poking sticks in a fire, hoping it finally burns up so you can go home. And which one does God accept? Both. We take the place where we are. We seek him where we are. We obey him where we are. And what did he say? This becomes a sacrifice that's pleasing to him. Because from God's viewpoint, there was that other fire. All of the gospel wasn't great sermons and great miracles. Some of it was messy and ugly. And he did that. And when we worship him like that, when we make our life in tune to him, he is not very far from us, ever. If you need to come to God, this is the time. Won't you come while we stand and sing?